As most church members think of stewardship, they are thinking only of money. The Bible presents a much bigger picture. Let's talk about it here at smalltownbaptist.net. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Let's underline some phrases. Servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, required of stewards, found faithful. And one more from the beginning, how one should regard us. That is, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Every believer, every saved person is a steward, whether he regards himself in that way or not, either a faithful steward or an unfaithful steward. So we begin by helping believers develop their self-image, to see themselves in a more biblical way. The word used for servant referred to an attendant or assistant who is under the direction of someone else, subservient. We are servants of Christ. A steward is someone who has been entrusted with that which belongs to someone else. Such people see themselves not like the owner of a business, but like store managers who run the store according to the policies of the owner. This is the meaning of stewardship. This means, of course, that we must renounce ownership of our possessions and recognize the Lord as the rightful owner of all. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." This growth in self-image involves seeing ourselves as part of the cause, that is, the Great Commission. There is a reason believers have given that nickname to Matthew 28:18 through 20. It is the great overarching, everyone-involving mission of the church. Our goal is to help individuals embrace the gospel cause as a part of their personal identity and life purpose. This way of understanding ourselves includes helping believers see themselves as worshipers. David said, "I will not offer the Lord that which cost me nothing." Some give what's left over after they eat out as many times a week as they'd like, have gone to the beach as many times a year as they want to go. Leftovers. So we want to help people see themselves as worshipers, giving God their best. We want to help people see themselves as investors, investors who invest in eternity, who lay up treasure in heaven, legacy leavers, people who plant trees under whose shade others will sit. To see ourselves as being led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." We stress helping people learn to listen for the voice of God, not giving on emotional impulse, not manipulating people into giving what they can't afford to give, not telling anyone an amount they should give. Instead, you are asking each Christian family to carefully think this through and to talk this through and to pray this through. Even explaining all of this, you are likely to hear someone say, "No one is going to tell me what to do with my money." And when you hear this statement, you can know that you flipped over a rock because you didn't suggest an amount they should give. The subtext, if honestly put, would go something like this: "No one is going to tell me what to do with my money, not even Jesus Christ." Ignore these people. Go with the goers, be prayers for the stayers. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know the shepherd's voice." You will have church members who have never trusted God for his definite leadership about anything else ever. No wonder this sounds like manipulation. For them, it's uncharted territory. But hear Romans 8:14 again. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. This can be a great growth experience for many church members as they learn to recognize the Spirit's leading and to keep in step with the Spirit. Now let's talk about some principles for a stewardship emphasis. People don't give to needs, they give to causes. It's important to carefully show your congregation how this emphasis relates to the mission of the church, the Great Commission. People don't give to losers, they give to winners. It's important for members to know what their church is doing and to feel good about it. Once in a sermon, I referred to the often cited question, if your church were to close overnight, would anybody in your community notice the difference? Some members were distressed at this question. They were panicked that we weren't doing enough. However, in the weekly church email, I was able to list the various ministries of our church. The volunteers who served at the local benevolence ministry, our disaster relief team, the food distribution at the elementary school to those who wouldn't have enough to eat over the weekend, and so forth. And the comment was, I had forgotten how much we were doing. This is why, in a stewardship emphasis, it's important to have testimonies from those who came to Christ through the ministry of the church, who were helped in their Christian growth, and who had been helped through a hard time. Videos are very helpful for this. You can control the length and eliminate any wording which may be misunderstood. Many want to give to the exciting new ministry and fail to see the importance of paying the power bill. But paying utilities and for insurance and for salaries, this is what might be called grown-up giving. It doesn't have the glamour, but you can explain to your new believers that it is a mark of Christian maturity. It used to be that mail-outs were a part of stewardship campaigns. However, many young adults don't even check their mail regularly anymore. They pay all their bills online, so there's no need to go to the mailbox. This is one way social media can help you. Another reason to use social media is that most people think in smaller bites than before. Some won't read an article, but they will read a short quote. Before getting started, find out what apps your members use. The plurality of people aren't present every Sunday, so you have to repeat material in some way for the different shifts. There's your first and third Sunday shift, your second and fourth Sunday shift, your once-a-month group, and your once-per-quarter group. One way to help with this is to communicate a subject in a staggered order, like this. Week 1, the pastor introduces the stewardship emphasis in his sermon. Now in week 2, the Sunday school lesson reinforces the previous week's sermon, but in a more in-depth way. Also in week 2, a testimony reinforces the previous week's theme. And the pastor introduces the next aspect of the emphasis in his sermon that Sunday. During the week, you send out daily social media posts to echo the theme of the previous week. This way, the people who miss a service will not miss the principle of the week, and the pastor doesn't have to do so much review in his sermons. Now, the final week is Commitment Sunday. The famed attorney Jerry Spence was asked by his fellow attorneys how he got such large judgments. He told them, I looked the jury in the eyes, and I asked for it. You know, we're asking people to obey God. We have nothing to apologize for. Look them in the eyes and ask for it. Before this Sunday, you may need to explain that such commitments are, in fact, biblical. There are those who will question this. But you will recall how in Nehemiah 10, there is the record of just such a commitment being made by the group. Isn't it an amazing thing how people will borrow for a car and pledge to pay back the credit union? They won't do for the Lord what they will do for a car. It's good to include a line on any such commitment forms you use that as part of the commitment, I promise to contact the financial secretary should my financial circumstances change and revise my commitment. Now, again, this is part of the commitment. So if you get laid off, there are no debt collectors coming to visit. And by the way, this promise ought to include how we would give if we get the big promotion. The commitment itself is always private, but it may be made openly as part of a capital campaign when raising funds to build or something like that. On more than one occasion, we utilized an approach with sealed envelopes and Joe Ash's chest. Well, these are some ideas to help you get started. Thanks for listening. You'll find more information and ideas about all kinds of things at smalltownbaptist.net.